Did you notice that? People are as grass. In what way are we like grass? Well, we're like grass in that we get older. We age. The grass withers and the flower falls. Y'all, even since this morning, those of you who are here this morning, you know, y'all have gotten older. Just gotten older. And the thing is that if we live, we're all going to get older. I know it's hard for young people to conceive of the idea that one day they're going to wind up as gray and wrinkledy, or maybe without their hair, the way some of us who are older have wound up. It's hard for young people to conceive of that, but if you continue to live, aging is going to happen to you as well. And while a lot of people in this world strive to keep that from happening, there is no keeping that from happening. You may color your hair and get your face pulled back or something so that you look younger in some way, but you're still going to age. And that's just not a preventable thing. The question is, if we live, if God blesses us with life, are we going to age well? Are we going to age, as we say, gracefully in Christ, growing to, if we might say, a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, to the people that God wants us to be, growing in His grace, growing in an understanding of God's will for us, and growing as His children? I was watching a television show not long ago, and a commercial came on. It was a life insurance commercial. And the message flashed on the screen: if you're between the ages of 45 and 75, forget everything you know. And I thought, well, that's not very hard to do if you're between 45 and 75. It's not very hard to do at all. It's pretty easy to pretty much forget everything you know. The body begins to fade when you get older. The memory begins to fade. But the spirit need not. And your soul can continue to grow even to the day that you go on to meet your Maker. Growing older has its challenges. This lesson's not just for the old, it's for the young and for anybody who's alive. In Christ, we can grow older, we can age well. And I want to talk with you then tonight about some things to do to age well. And it doesn't involve eating the right food and putting cream on your face and all of that sort of thing. It involves aging well in your spirit. Sow good seed when you're young. The principle of sowing and reaping is well established throughout the Scripture, that we're going to reap exactly what it is that we've sown. And this is true from the time that we're young to the time that we're old. Whatever we sow, we're going to reap those kinds of things. Proverbs 22 and verse 8 says that he who sows iniquity shall reap sorrow. The rod of his anger will fail. You sow iniquity, you do evil in your youth, and you're going to reap, according to this passage, sorrow. Some bad times will come upon you. You think about people that are, as we say, rotting away in prison, or people that have ruined their lives with some addiction or some unsafe behavior of one kind or another. And they have reaped what they have sown. We still feel sorry for them, of course, but it's the consequences of what they've done. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, Paul relates this same principle when he says, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." And you find this to be so true in life. Who's the person who's most responsible for all of your miseries, whatever miseries you have? Or I'd ask the young people, they might say, well, it's my parents, it's my mom or my dad. No, the person that's responsible for most of your miseries, if there is anybody responsible, is you. And that's just because you reap what you sow. He who sows to his flesh will reap corruption. Galatians 6 and verse 8 says. Solomon tells his son in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, "My son, do not forget my law. Well, let your heart keep my commands, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you." So here's the idea that if you'll do some things that are right, if you'll listen, in this case, to the wisdom of a father like Solomon, if you keep those things, it'll end up well with you. You'll have peace. You'll have many days and a long life. So aging well is, to some degree, just the process, the very natural process of sowing and reaping. So we need to make sure that we are careful about what it is that we're sowing. And what we need to do is to sow wisdom, if we will collect wisdom and put it into practice in our lives, practice living wisely, we're going to sow that and then we'll reap great benefits from that. Please turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. And notice with me verses 5 through 10. It's what Solomon says. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget her, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. In all of this, the wise man is telling us, if we'll get wisdom, if we'll collect it and then put it into practice in our lives will be so much better going into the future. And ultimately, we'll have a lot of life going into the future as we apply God's wisdom. Last quarter in the high school college class, we went through topically the book of Proverbs. And there's an awful lot of wisdom in the book of Proverbs, for young people especially, but for all of us. And I tried to share with the young people that wisdom really means living skillfully, living smartly, as we might say it today, putting into practice the spiritual knowledge that we can gain from the Word of God and from wise parents and those who have gone on ahead of us, putting that sort of thing into practice, actually developing skills, life skills, by which we can interact with others, determine the course of our lives, and so on and so forth. Those kinds of things, and it doesn't matter, again, if you're young or old, those kinds of things put into practice in your life will reap wonderful benefits. A lot of people bought into this idea that wisdom automatically comes with age, and it does not. There are a lot of people who've put a lot of years on who haven't gained any wisdom and therefore who haven't reaped any of the benefits of it. There's really nothing that automatically comes with age except maybe wrinkles and rheumatism. That's about it. Dear Abby, Abigail Van Buren one time said that it's true that some wines improve with age, but only if the grapes were good in the first place. You have to start with something good. We need to apply wisdom in our lives. These things are not here just for our learning intellectually. They're to be put into practice in our lives. And it's when we do that, and only when we do that, that we will reap the wonderful results. Another little bit of something that we need to sow along the way is respect for those who are older. Of course, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth." That it may be well with you. There's again the principle of reaping and sowing. If you'll honor your parents, things will turn out well with you. Respect those who are your parents. Respect those who brought you into this world, who are sacrificing for you, who are trying, especially if they're associated with this congregation, trying to raise you up in the ways of the Lord. Respect them. Honor them. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32, the principle in the Old Testament was, "Rise up before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord," the text says. When people get older, they lose some of their physical and mental abilities. We can't remember like we used to. We can't do like we used to. We laugh at ourselves, and that's fine. It's one thing to laugh at yourself, and it's another thing to be made fun of. It's another thing to be disrespected. So, those who are younger need to remember that, yeah, older folks can't do what they used to. Maybe they can't think as sharply as they used to. Some of us can't. I know I can't. I was complaining to some young people the other day. I memorized a lot of verses when I was a young man, and I can really remember all of those verses. The verses that I memorized last year, I can't remember. But the ones I memorized when I was young, those I can remember. But that's what happens to you when you get old. That memory doesn't work as well. I read this poem from Esther Mary Walker. It says, "Beatitudes for friends of the aged. Blessed are they who understand my faltering step and my palsied hand. Blessed are they who know that my ears today must strain to catch the things they say. Blessed are they who seem to know that my eyes are dim and my wits are slow. Blessed are they who look away when coffee spilled at table today. Blessed are they with a cheery smile who stop to chat for a little while. Blessed are they who never say, 'You've told that story twice today.' Blessed are they who know the ways to bring back memories of yesterdays. Blessed are they who make it known that I'm loved, respected, and not alone. To find the strength to carry the cross, blessed are they who ease the days on my journey home in loving ways." Respect those who are older, and not only will you be appreciated, but it will come back to you in wonderful ways. As you age, if you want to age well, sow good seed. If you want to age well, focus on things that are spiritual. In 2 Corinthians, we have in chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, this contrast between the things that are spiritual and the things that are carnal or material or temporary. And the apostle says, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more and exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so as we age, we're not to be so concerned about those external things, those things that we can see, those things that are temporary. But we need to focus on that which is on the inside. See, by the time a person gets to greener pastures, it's been said, the problem is he can't climb the fence anymore. Those pastures aren't so green anymore. I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about, that people that live all of their lives working hard, saving money, looking forward to retirement, and then they get to retirement and their health fails them, or because of age, they can't enjoy it. My own father looked forward so much to retirement. He worked hard all of his life and put some pennies back and saved some money, and he always dreamed about buying one of these motor homes and getting to travel the country and all of that sort of thing. And he saved enough money to do it. He was glad to be able to do that. The Lord blessed him. And he saved enough money to buy one of these Allegro motor homes, sure enough. And they got it. And he took, I think, exactly two trips with that motor home before his health got so bad that he couldn't use it anymore. If that were what his life was all about, if that's what he was banking on in life, he'd have lived a very disappointed life, wouldn't he? But I'm thankful that in his case, the focus of his life was not on the external, but on that which is spiritual, on that which is eternal, on that which lasts forever. That's the way we have to look at life. If it's about the outward, you will not age well. You will not age well. George Burns, the comedian who lived to be 100, said that tennis is a game for young people. He said, when I was 25, I played singles. When I was 35, I played doubles. That's, two people on the same side of the court. He said, now if I go play tennis, there are 28 people on the same side of the court. Oh, if you look at the physical, getting old's no fun. It's no good. And we can't do it well. But while we're looking at the things that are not seen, the things which are spiritual, the things which are eternal, every day is more golden. Every day is more blessed. Every day we can come more closely in fellowship with our Heavenly Father. We can understand more about His will for us and our hope for eternity. Every day, though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. That's the great message of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Focus on the spiritual. Suffer pain with grace. Again, as we get older, we have pains in places we didn't even know we had places. That's what happens when we get older. And those who are older experience that, understand that. If you focus on the pain, and that's all you think about, life becomes pretty miserable. But if you realize that you're in the hands of God, if pain and sickness and problems with health help you realize how God has control of your life, and we talked about this in a lesson not long ago, it's really something that can be a blessed thing for you. And so you're going to have pain as you get older. And the older you get, probably the more of it you're going to have. But to rely on God's strength and have your hope in Him and let yourself put yourself in the hands of God, that's a great blessing. Paul talks about it, of course, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. He says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.'" God said, "My grace is enough. You may be in pain. You may be suffering. You may have a physical ailment. But God's grace is enough for all of us. And whether we get over the pain, the ailment, the sickness, whatever it might be, God's grace is still enough for us. And if that's where our focus is, we can suffer the pain with grace. Therefore, Paul says, "Most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities." That's a strange thing to say. Now, I've known people, and you have too. Some of us may be those kinds of people who like to tell everybody about our aches and pains. You know people like that who like to talk about their aches and pains all the time? And it might be, your grandmother or your sister or your brother, whoever it is, or some acquaintance that you have, somebody at work, and if you just ask them how they are, you're going to get this whole long list of, "Here's all the stuff that's wrong with me." Paul was someone who said, "I boast in my infirmities." But I don't think he was talking about complaining all the time about how bad he was feeling. I think what he's talking about is, I have this physical problem and I really can't do anything about it, and I'm just so glad God is with me. So I'm going to boast in my infirmities to let you know that I have to rely on God. That's what Paul meant. And we're so thankful that God is with us through our infirmities, whatever they are. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. And so when we talk about our weaknesses, let's remember to glorify God for being our strength and helping us through those infirmities and weaknesses. We must suffer pain with grace. We need to bear fruit for the Lord. It's a great passage in Psalm 92 and verse 13, where the psalmist says that those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him." Even those who are older, and maybe we should say especially those who are older, can still bear fruit for the Lord. If we plant ourselves in His house, if we maintain our connection to Him, if we let Jesus be the vine and we ourselves the branches and abide in Him throughout our lives, we can continue to bear fruit even in our old age. That's the picture that you have there in Psalm 92. We will flourish in the courts of our God. and bear fruit in old age. We'll be fresh and flourishing. So somebody may be 70, 80, 90 years old, and still, because of their love for the Lord, because of their dedication to Him, they can bear fruit. They can bear fruit, if nothing else, by their example. By showing people that they love the Lord, that they have a commitment to Him, that they want to honor Him, that they want to serve Him. There are people in this auditorium tonight who went, I want to tell you, to great lengths to be here. Those of you who are young cannot imagine what some who are older have gone through to be here tonight in this assembly to worship their God. What an example. For those who can barely walk or some can't walk, but still want to worship their God, bearing fruit even in age. And I think I told you the illustration not long ago of my grandmother who at 95 years old finally passed away in the nursing home. When she was 94, she helped bring somebody to Christ, had a Bible study in the nursing home, brought a fellow to Christ, studying the Bible. We can bear fruit even in old age. Longfellow wrote, "Shall we sit idly down and say, the night hath come, it's no longer day? The night hath not yet come. We are not quite cut off from labor by the failing light. Something remains for us to do or dare. Even the oldest tree some fruit may bear." That's what you see in Psalm 92. That's what we should see in our lives. Don't give up on bearing fruit just because you're getting older, getting slower, can't get around as well. There's always something you can do, at least to be an example to those who are coming along, an example of faith. The Lord wants us to do what we can. He doesn't expect us to do more than we can. And as we get really old, maybe He doesn't expect us to do everything that we once could do. But He expects us to do our best and to glorify Him and to pass on our faith and the blessings that we've enjoyed in life to succeeding generations. Would you go with me in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 19? I love this story of Barzillai. Always get the R before the A there. I love the story of Barzillai, the Gileadite. He comes to meet the king, to see him across the Jordan, King David. And it says in verse 32 that Barzillai was a very aged man, 80 years old. He provided the king and supplies while he stayed at Mahanaim, for he was a very rich man. And the king said to Barzillai, "Come across with me, and I will provide for you while you're with me in Jerusalem." And Barzillai said to the king, "How long have I to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am today 80 years old. Can I discern between the good and the bad? Can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any longer the voice of singing men and singing women?" Here's a man, he's 80 years old. His taste and smell is failing apparently. His olfactory abilities are going. He can't hear. He says, "Why then should your servant be a further burden to the Lord, my Lord the king? Your servant will go a little way across the Jordan with the king, and why should the king repay me with such a reward? Please let your servant turn back again, that I may die in my own city, near the grave of my father and my mother. But here is your servant, Chimham. Let him cross over with my lord the king, and do for him what seems good to you." And the king answered, "Chimham shall cross over with me, and I will do for him what seems good to you. Now whatever you request of me, I will do for you." And then all the people went over the Jordan, and when the king had crossed over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned to his own place. This man is really an amazing man, 80 years old. And what he realizes is he's done with his life what he can do. He's helped the king in previous times. He's lived a good life. He's been blessed by the Lord. He's old, and his abilities are failing. And he realizes now that it's time to not just receive blessing and honor, but to pass on some of His blessings to somebody else. Give somebody else an opportunity along the way. And He turns to maybe somebody who's younger. We're not told how the age of this other man, but He turns to him and said, David, take him and let him enjoy these blessings and these things. Still bearing fruit, this man was, Barzillai. Still bearing fruit, even his old age, by passing on his opportunities to those who could better enjoy them. Still bearing fruit. We can bear fruit for the Lord, even in a condition like this man was. Still doing things to His praise, glory, and honor. Lastly, as we think about aging well, look forward to heaven. As we get older, and I'm at an age already where this is certainly happening, we tend to look back. We tend to look back over our lives. We remember snatches, at least, of some events. There are some things we don't remember very well, but we remember things that we've done, things that have been done to us, experiences that we've had, places we've been. And it's fine to have those reminiscences. But I think that as we get older, if we're in Christ, our focus should really be forward. We need to be looking forward to going to heaven. That needs to be in our mind. We need to talk about it. We need to share with others our hope. As we get older, if we're to age well, this will be our hope. The Apostle Paul, in the beautiful words as he closes out 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 6, he says, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me at that day, and not to me only, but also to all those who have loved His appearing. As far as we can tell, this is the last section of the last book that Paul wrote by inspiration. And he was ready to die. He was, as he styles himself, Paul the aged. He was old. And he was looking forward to heaven. He fought that fight. He finished the race. He kept the faith. God help us that as we grow older, more and more and more so, we look forward to going to heaven. That it's in our minds, it's on our hearts, and we speak of it on our lips. Truly, if when we come to the end of the life's journey, and we step out of this life and into the world to come, if we're ready for heaven, if we're longing for it, we will have aged well. And we will have accomplished in this life exactly what God put us here to accomplish. We will have grown to be what it is that He planted us to be. My friends, if we live, we'll grow old. Anyone can get old and have wrinkles and rheumatism. But age well, to be a blessing to others and to glorify God, that's much more difficult. But that should be our goal. There's somebody here tonight, perhaps, who has not given your life to the Lord, who's not looking forward to the future, not looking forward to getting older and leaving this life and going on to be with God. I might tell you that your heart's not in the right place, that your focus is not in the right place. Consider giving your life to the Lord. Only in that way can you have a hope for this life and for the life which is to come. If you give your life to Jesus, name His name, be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, what a wonderful start you could have on your road to heaven, even this evening. And if tonight I'm talking to somebody who's lost your way, who's began to focus on the physical, on problems instead of on the grace of God, on His wondrous blessings instead of on His wondrous blessings. I'm talking to somebody like that. You need to make your life right. We'd ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.